All right, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Man, what a great song service this morning. To think about heaven and to think about meeting Christ. I've been reading in my Bible in John chapter 14, and Jesus says, I will come again. I will come again. There will be a day that we will see those loved ones who have gone on before us, and we'll see Jesus most of all. Man, I'm excited about that. And we get to sing about it while we're here on this earth. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we'll start with verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Let's pray. God, I so thank you, Lord, for another time to be here, Lord, in your house. Lord, with this group of believers, Lord, Lord God, as we assemble together, Lord, all those that, Lord, would have the Holy Spirit within them, Lord, it makes for such a joyous time. Oh, what a great time to be together in your house with those, Lord, who have the hope of eternal life. But, Lord, most likely, there's someone here, Lord God, that hasn't accepted you as their personal Savior. Lord God, I was reading this week, Lord, that the physical body is what partakes in sin, and so that is what will also have to suffer for sin. Lord God, I think about that, Lord, and I so thank you that you came here and gave your body as a sacrifice, Lord God, for me. Lord God, you took my sins so that my body wouldn't have to suffer that eternal hell. Lord God, I think this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord God, that does not know you, Lord, I don't know of anybody saved this morning that would want someone to go to hell. God, I pray today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I pray that, Lord, they'd come, Lord, with a humble heart, Lord, as we all have to, and understand we're sinners. We're wicked, vile sinners, Lord God. But you saved us. Lord God, and we are more than conquerors, Lord, through him who loves us. Lord God, thank you so much for what you've done. Lord, we thank you, Lord, as we look back, Lord, at creation. Lord God, and think about, Lord, I was listening to a message this week, and Lord, the pastor said that the woman brings harmony to a home. That's so wise. That is so wise. Lord, our homes are pretty boring as a man until, Lord God, you bring, Lord, that woman to us that brings that harmony to the home. God, I thank you for your plan, your design. Lord God, you're so good to us. Lord, be with the message this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Man, we look for your power this morning. God, move among this place. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Again, appreciate it. Well, the music this morning, the choir always does a great job. And then the Knight family on the special, and Mrs. Freeman there on the offertory. Thank you for all of that. And the congregational singing, man, a great morning already in church this morning. We're in Genesis chapter 2, and our theme is we're in the book of Genesis this year, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. And we want to make sure we're giving Christ first. Man, it's great to have you here on the first day of the week, right? To have you here on Sunday in the house of God and giving God that time, and to make sure that we're putting him first in every area of our life. In Genesis chapter 2, we read those verses. I want to back up just a little bit before we get into those verses and talk about what happened in Genesis chapter 1. We've talked about this the last couple weeks, but in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heaven and the earth, right? And he started there at the very beginning in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 1. And then I won't take time to read every verse. But go ahead to the end of the chapter. Go to chapter 1, verse 31. Look at verse number 31 at the end of chapter 1. And as we go through the first chapter of Genesis, verse number 4, verse number 10, verse number 12, verse number 18, verse number 21, verse number 25. So all throughout the first chapter of Genesis, it says this, and God saw that it was good. And God would create something. God made those things in those 6 days, and then God saw that what he created was good. And we get to verse number 31 at the end of Genesis chapter 1. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So we have
God saw that it was good. God saw it was good. God saw it was good. And the end of the chapter, God saw that it was very good. And everything God created was good. And by the way, that's still true today, right? And so God created those things. Those were good. But we get to chapter 2, and then for the first time, we see in verse number 18, it says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone." For the first time, it is not good. And that's when God sees that man's alone. And so this morning we'll talk about this. When God saw it was not good, and God created man, and God created woman, and then God ordained marriage. And we'll talk about that this morning. God brought man and woman together. First, we'll see this in chapter 2. First of all, man was created by God. Man created by God, which talked about in chapter 1, but expounded on in chapter 2. So let's look back at verse number 7 of chapter 2. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We're not given much details on the animals and the plants. Those are created by God. The world that's around us, creation around us. We're given a little more detail here with man himself, that God formed him out of the dust of the ground. God took the dust of the ground and formed, created man. You know, God's never forgotten that. We'll come back, but go to Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103, and we'll hold your place there in Genesis chapter 2. But Psalms chapter 103, and this is such a great passage here. In fact, read this week in my Bible reading. In Psalms 103, verse number 8, starting in verse number 8. And what a great comfort it is to us this morning. And Psalm 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Isn't that, man, God is merciful to us, slow to anger. Verse 9, "He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities." We have not gotten what was just. I heard a preacher talking about that this week. We have a just God. We have a just God. Because He's a just God, sin had to be paid for. But we also have a merciful God. And because of that, y'all have heard the story before, but the lady who got her picture made. The photographer took her picture, and she takes the picture back to the photographer, and she is not happy with the picture. And so she goes to the photographer, and she says, "Look," she said, "this picture you took, this does not do me justice." He took a look at the picture, and he took a look at her, and he said, "Woman, you don't want justice, you want mercy." All right, and that's what we want, right? We want mercy. We want mercy. When God looks at us, we're thankful we have a just God. We also have a merciful God. So in Psalms 103, in verse number 9, verse number 10, verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are what? That we are dust." Hey, God knows what we are. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse for sin or that we can do what we want to, but boy, it's a comfort to know that God doesn't forget that. God's a merciful God. This morning, He formed man of the dust of the ground back in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You think about that, and God gives life. God's the giver of life, and He gave life unto man. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. By the way, a soul that will live forever somewhere. That living soul that we are, there's going to be a physical death for everyone that's here this morning. All of us will die a physical death if we don't get taken up in the rapture. And that'd be great if we did. But all of us will die a physical death. But there's also a second death, an eternal death. But that soul is going to spend somewhere forever, either forever in heaven with God or forever in the torments of hell. But that living soul that God created in verse number 7, God formed man. And then God not only formed man, God placed man. Look at verse number 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed." So God places man there in the Garden of Eden. That garden in verse number 9 talks about the trees that were there and the plants that were there, all the things that were there. But that garden was a perfect environment. God put man in a perfect environment. Well, you hear today about the wrong environment. And listen, we understand this. Just like anything else, environment can influence. What we're around can influence us. We want to make sure we keep ourselves around the right people, around the right environment. We do that with our young people. Man, we want them to have things to do around other Christian young people. They go off to college and want to be around the right influences. So we understand there's an influence there. But let me tell you, I'm not just a creature of my environment this morning. Hey, God gave them a perfect environment. A perfect environment. There was nothing, no sin at all in the Garden of Eden, so God gave them a perfect environment. God also gave them a pleasant environment, of course, as it was perfect there, but tell us in verse number 9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. They had everything they wanted, everything pleasant to the sight, good for food. God put man in a perfect environment. So God forms man and then places him in the Garden of Eden, somewhere that's perfect. And then look at this, is a good verse 15. God not only formed man and placed man, then God purposed man. Look at verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So God gave him a purpose. God didn't create us for no reason. No, there's a purpose for our creation. And God had a purpose. Man, isn't it great to have a purpose in life, to have something you're supposed to be doing? And God didn't just create Adam and say, all right, there's a perfect Garden of Eden, just sort of hang out, do nothing, and say, no, here's some responsibilities you have. Here's a purpose for you existing. And so he gave them that, gave them physical labor to do, to dress it and to keep it. Told them, in fact, look at verse number 19, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. And so God gave him work to do, to dress the garden, to keep it, to name the animals. He gave him physical labor, gave him mental labor, gave him both of those things that he could work at, and a purpose for why he was here. And so God formed man, he placed man in the Garden of Eden, he purposed man, and then God commanded man. Look at chapter 2, verse number 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God gave man a command. With that command, God gave man a free will. Now we'll talk more about that next week. We won't get into all that this morning, but God gave every single one of us this morning a free will. You have a will to choose. And I love what God did here, and the same thing he does in our life. God didn't create the Garden of Eden and say, I'm going to make every tree bad and there's one good tree you can find. No, God made everything good and he said, listen, there's one tree, one thing you can't partake of. Sometimes if we're not careful, and I don't ever want our Christian young people to get this idea, oh boy, because we're Christians, there's so much fun things in the world that we can't do anymore. No, there's so much we can do that's right, so much we can do that's right. What we have to do is stay away from sin and stay away from those things that are wrong. And God gives Adam a responsibility, a choice, a free will. Hey, here's one. Hey, you can have everything else. It's good for food. It's pleasant. Everything out there is perfect. One thing you can't eat. One thing. And so God gives him that free will. And I like this. Look, he tells him in verse number 17, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Immediate, serious consequences. And boy, this is a good reminder for us when we have children and teaching them. God didn't beat around the bush and mention, no, he said, if you eat, then you will surely die. They knew exactly what the consequences were before they ever did it. God didn't say, hey, here's everything you do, just that one thing don't do, and if you do, I'll let you know what's going to happen. No. He said, here's what's going to happen. And by the way, what God said is exactly what happened. And so God said, here's what's going to happen. If you eat it at all, here's the consequences. He gave him that purpose, that command, that responsibility, that free will. No surprises. And so man is created by God, put in a perfect environment, given a purpose by God, given a commandment by God. This one commandment he has to follow, that's it. You do that, and you're fine. Again, in verse 16, thou mayest freely eat. Hey, there's no limit on how much you can eat of this tree or that tree or that tree. All of that you can partake of. But here's a choice. You have a choice. You've got to make the right choice. It gives him every opportunity. And so man's created by God. Then man looks, man's there, and God, verse number 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And for the first time, we see God say it's not good. He sees Adam there, and he sees Adam by himself. And Adam has no one there, and so God says, boy, that's not good that man should be alone. Isn't it interesting? In fact, we'll see here as we read the verse about Adam naming the animals. Look at verse number 20, the end of the verse. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. That doesn't mean that Adam was looking around the animals. All right, so which one of these should I marry? No, it doesn't mean that. It means as Adam named those animals, they came, well, there's male and female, right? And there was male and female. There's Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe and Mr. and Mrs. Elephant, right? And Mr. and Mrs. Whatever. There's a good. And Adam's by himself. And Adam begins to realize, hey, I'm alone. Isn't it? God anticipates our needs before we do. Do you know that? God knows what we need before even we do. And God sees that man's alone and knows that and said it's not good that man should be alone. There's no helpmeet found for Adam. So what does God say in verse number 18? I will make an helpmeet for him. I will make him, I will give Adam an helpmeet. And so God created woman after man to be a helpmeet for man. That's what woman was created for, to be a helpmeet for man. Hold your place there. We'll come back to it in just a second. Let's read a verse before we do. Let's go down to verse number 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And so God makes woman out of man. Man's made out of the dust of the ground, but God goes to man, takes that rib from man, and makes woman not out of the dust of the ground, but out of the rib of man. And so hold your place there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 8 is Paul's writing here and about really the distinction between men and women and talks about that as well. But look at verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Hey, God created the woman to be a helpmeet to the man. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And he's teaching here about order in the church. And we'll get to verses 14 and 15 probably more next week. But in verse 13, what does it say? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And so as man takes responsibility, that woman was created to be a helpmeet for man. God created woman out of man. Back to Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 21, God performs the first surgery. And God uses his anesthesia, right? He causes a deep sleep. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of things I'm thankful for in our modern day and age. One of those is anesthesia, right? All right? The surgeries they had to do when I was, we went to Virginia Beach, I think, to see family for some reason. I can't remember when it was, but I think we were up that way. Anyway, we were out of town on our way back, and boy, we stopped at, was it Burger King? I can't remember. Was that KFC? No, it's KFC. You're right. It's KFC. We stopped at KFC. I remember because the last time I ever, we stopped at KFC. We ate at KFC on the way back. And boy, we got in the driveway, and I'm moaning and groaning, and my stomach, it just felt so bad, and so we went inside, and it's late in the evening, and I don't know what, so I'm telling him, and I just feel terrible, and Mom and Dad didn't know what to do, it wouldn't stop, right there, I just couldn't, So Dad came up with a solution. Dad would do this back then. Yeah, how many of you have ever had Alka-Seltzer before? You have Alka-Seltzer? You've had that? Okay. That was Dad's go-to. Dad says, son, we're going to make it take some out. That was worse than anything I experienced through this whole trauma, right? He made me drink Alka-Seltzer and dropped a couple things in there. Here, drink some of this. Oh, man. So I survived drinking the Alka-Seltzer. And finally, they took me over to the hospital and got to the hospital. And that night, I had my appendix removed, all right? That's what it was. My appendix was about. It didn't burst, thank goodness, but it was getting there. And so they did surgery. I tell you that I am so glad. I am so glad for that surgery that anesthesia had been invented, right? I mean, just have to go through those things. And so God here puts Adam to sleep, the first surgery. He puts him to sleep. By the way, I didn't eat KFC for another 10 years. All right, 10 years. I blamed it all on KFC, all right? But God puts him to sleep, and he takes one of his ribs and closes up the flesh instead thereof, and then takes that rib and takes that from man and makes woman taken out of man. And Matthew Henry talks about this. I don't have the full quote in front of me, but the essence of this, God didn't take him out of man's foot so that he could rule over and stomp over women, nothing like that. But took him out of his side so that she could be a helpmeet to man. And that's what God created woman for. So God creates man and God creates woman. And so as God creates man and God creates woman, then we see the very first really entity that God puts in place in verse number 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we have man created by God. We have woman created by God. What does that lead to? Marriage ordained by God. You know, God is the one that ordained marriage. And we touched on this some last week. But God's the one that put marriage in place. And so because God's the one that put marriage in place, then the world and the devil have tried to fight against marriage forever, right? And marriage is marriage because God ordains it, because God recognizes it, not just because man does. And so marriage ordained by God, isn't this great? Look at verse number 21. Listen, I'm going to back up a little bit. Verse number 21. It says, and God caused the deep sleep to fall upon him. Verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made him woman and did what? And brought her unto the man. You know what? God brought Adam and Eve together. God created Eve and then brought Eve to Adam. Teach our young people here, hey, here's what you want to make sure. You want to marry the one that God brings you together with. You don't want there to be any doubt that God brought you together. Hey, God created man, God created woman, and then he brought the woman to the man. God brought Adam and Eve together. We touched on this last week too, but obviously God didn't create man and man. He created man and woman. He didn't bring a man to a man. God brought a woman to a man because that's what marriage is, right? Between one man and one woman. That's what it's supposed to be. And so that's what God did. But I want you to notice this also. God didn't create 10 women and say, all right, Adam, pick one of these. Or marry all of these, all right? God didn't say that. God created one. Yeah, I really believe this, and Dad would talk about this too. I think God created one for you. Now, it doesn't mean, and we know what happens, and we talked about this last week, what happens in life and in marriage. But I believe this, for our young people, God's got somebody out there for you that he created for you. God didn't create a bunch of women and say, all right, what do you think? No, God brought Eve to Adam. By the way, God didn't bring Eve to Adam and say, hey, y'all live together for a little bit and see if it works out. No, God said, y'all get married. What is that? And it says that Adam took her as wife, right? It wasn't just try it out for a while, now I'll create another one and see if you like her better. No, Adam and Eve were married by God. And by the way, If you haven't been married in holy matrimony, ordained by God, boy, then it's not worth a whole lot. Marriage ordained by God. Ordained by God. God brought Adam and Eve together. God brought Eve to Adam. And God created them to be one flesh. in verse number 24, and they shall be one flesh. Tells us, and it is interesting here in verse number 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. And this is not the only time it's happened in Scripture. There's several times in Scripture where God gives a principle before it ever needs to be put in place, right? Adam and Eve were the only two people that didn't have a father and mother. So they didn't have anybody to leave and cleave to. They had somebody to cleave to and nobody to leave. But he says, here's a principle, Adam, for when you rear your children, those children, as they grow older, are going to leave their father and mother. That doesn't mean they never listen to mom and dad again or never talk to mom and dad again or never get counsel from mom and dad again. But what it does mean is this, that there's going to come a time for a young person as they find the one God has for them to marry, that person is going to be the most important relationship out of Jesus Christ they're going to have in their life. That's not easy. I'm heading down the road that some of y'all have already gone down. Now, as far as I know, none of my kids are getting married tomorrow. At least I haven't heard about it, they are. But as they get older, what's going to happen? There's going to come a time where that young man that we've reared up is going to pay more attention to somebody else than they do to us. There's going to be a time where that young lady we're rearing up, and that'll probably be 50 years from now, 60 years from now, somewhere near. Well, she'll start to pay attention and listen to somebody else more than she does us. And some of y'all experience that. That's not easy, is it? It's not. It's not, because I put my time into this child, and now you're going to listen to that person. Hey, but that's the way God set it up. And by the way, that's what you did to your parents. You didn't think twice about it, right? But therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Doesn't mean leave. No. It means to come and cleave to his wife. And they shall be one flesh. You know what? That's a picture. That's a picture in the Old Testament, what God talks about in the New Testament. In fact, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is why, one of the reasons, many reasons, that marriage is so important. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What should be holy? The church, as Christ presents that. But that relationship between Jesus Christ and the church is pictured by a relationship between a man and a woman in marriage. And that man in representation of Christ, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth that even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause, what it goes back to, Genesis 2, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. What's that a picture of? It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, that marriage between a man and woman is a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. And we go against what God ordained in marriage, and we're going against the picture that Christ set up, that God set up as a symbol between the relationship of Christ and the church. As I told y'all last week, yeah, man, this whole same-sex marriage and transgender, yes, all those things are wrong, but let me tell you where it starts. It starts with living together. It starts with divorce. Hey, when we water down marriage, then what do we expect? What's going to happen next? And again, we talked about this last week. Listen, we have people all over this auditorium. They've had gone through divorce and some of that through no fault of their own. And listen, God is still using them, and God can use anybody. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not trying to make somebody feel guilty. No. But as you saw the last week, I'm trying to teach these young people, hey, one man, one woman, one lifetime. That's what God wants. That's what he wants. And so as Adam and Eve, God brought them together to be one flesh. And here in Ephesians, we have quoted Genesis chapter 2. God is the one that joined Adam and Eve together. He created them to be together. On your way back to Genesis 2, let's stop by Matthew chapter 19. Go to Matthew 19. Because in the New Testament, we have God speaking and Jesus talks about Genesis chapter 2. And as the Pharisees question him and ask him about putting away a wife and Moses allowing divorce in the Old Testament, look at verse number 4 of Matthew chapter 19. And he answered and said to them, have ye not read? He knew they knew the scripture. That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. You know why? Because God joined Adam and Eve together. God created them to be together. God created Adam and Eve to become as one flesh. Not two, as one. And then what does Jesus add to the scripture from the Old Testament and become scripture in the New Testament? What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You know what the problem is in our country and around the world? Is man putting asunder what God put together. And man trying to break apart and tear apart what God put together. Marriage was ordained by God. Back to Genesis chapter 2. Therefore, verse 24, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. We had the first man created, we had the first woman created, and then we had the first marriage. All here in Genesis chapter 2. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I won't take time that I went through last year on this passage, what happened in the Garden of Eden, but I can tell you this. The reason they were not ashamed is because there was no sin. You know what sin brings about? Shame and guilt. So because they are perfect before God, there was no shame. No shame. And what have we gotten to now in our day and age? What happened is this. We've gone from there was no sin, no shame, to now what's happened in this day and age, there's sin everywhere and there's no shame anymore. That's an apostasy. That's going against the commandments of God. And that's where our world has gotten to. We don't want to see that happen in the church as well. But a man and his wife together, why? Because God put them together. God created the first man and woman. He officiated and ordained the first marriage. God brought men and women together for companionship. Let me just close with this. Back to verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. You know why God created woman? The Bible tells us this, to be a helpmeet to the man. You know, men and women were created for each other so that they would not be alone. You know what's sad? What's sad in a lot of even Christian homes is loneliness. Let me tell you, men, say, man, I need something to do. I'm going to go out and do this and this. Let me tell you, the cure for your loneliness is to make sure you treat that woman right at home. Hey, ladies, say, man, well, I'm just a little bit, hey, you know why God gave you that husband, why God gave you that wife? So you would not be lonely. That's the companion God has given you. They are the most important person outside of Jesus Christ in your life. In your life. Make sure you treat them that way. Hey, we live in the world, look at that. And they're living together and divorced and a same-sex marriage. But how's our marriage this morning? The one God gave us, how's that? How's that? Because let me tell you something. We can complain about the way the world is, but I'm telling you, I've talked to young people. I still remember in my mind, and Dad told me this, met with a young person, talking to them, giving them counsel. And this is somebody in a Christian home. And talking about, hey, this is the wife. She's supposed to be submissive to the husband. The husband's supposed to make sure he leads the home, spiritually speaking. And they looked at Dad and they said, I've never seen that modeled in my home. Hey, what's our home like? God created man, God created woman, and God ordained marriage. I thank God for all of that, right? I thank God for all of that. I'm so glad that I can go to the Word of God and say same-sex marriage is wrong, because that way I don't have to ever worry about marrying a man, right? I'm so glad. I'm glad that God made me a man and God made woman. And God gave me a woman that could be my wife. I'm so glad. Babe, how's our marriage this morning? How's your life this morning? Are you alone? I say, well, no. We got all over it. And people, their husbands and wives are going to heaven. Understand that. And God fills that in. God fills that in. He does. But man, how's our life? How's our marriage this morning? Are we really, really taking seriously what God has given us and what he's done for us? The first man, the first woman, the first marriage, all created and ordained by God. Father, I pray that you'd be with us this morning, Lord, as we go through your word and things that are in some ways foreign to the world around us is becoming more and more abnormal to have a good, godly, healthy marriage. And Lord, I understand this different situations all over this room, all over this world. And Lord, you know each situation. But we do know this, Lord, that you created man, that you created woman for each other. And you created that woman to be a helpmeet to that man. And you saw a man that was alone and you said, that's not good. And you gave him that wife, brought that wife to him. And Lord, we know the story. Lord willing, we'll get into that more next week. Lord, you know, just because they were created for each other doesn't mean they're perfect in their life and in everything they did. But Lord, I pray this morning, I pray that you'd help us, first of all, be thankful for what you brought into our life. I pray these young people, as they make decisions, they would try to find the one that you would bring them together with. Find that one you'd have for them to marry. And then, Lord, I pray that we'd take the truth of God's word, implement it in our lives, and influence those around us to do the same. I pray there's someone here this morning who's never been saved, never trusted you as their Savior. Lord, I pray this morning they come, walk this aisle, and trust in that God that created them, that God that not only created them, but also sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And I pray that you'd help them this morning to do that. Help us to be serious, Lord, about the things of the Bible. There's no way we can expect those in the world to do what's right if we won't do it in our lives. So give us wisdom in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. If everybody stands with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, nobody looking around, and not really a salvation message this morning. We talked about that, and it's hard to look at the creation of man, and as we realize that man became a living soul, we'll not realize we're going to spend eternity somewhere. But this morning, I want you to think about this for just a minute. Do you know for sure, when you die, where that soul is going? Are you going to heaven? Are you going to hell? You're going somewhere for eternity. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've trusted Christ, my Savior. You just lift your hand up. I'm the one to say, I know I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. Thank you. If you're here this morning, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. If I was to die today, I don't know where my soul would spend eternity. Hey, man is different from the animals. Man has a living soul, body, soul, and spirit. That body, that flesh, we'll stay here, but that soul and spirit will spend eternity somewhere. If you're here this morning, say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. Pray for me. I won't embarrass you, but say, pray for me this morning. Just not sure. But just slip in here and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation this morning. Hey, aren't you thankful? God created man, God created woman, and God ordained marriage. Hey, take a minute this morning. Thank God for what he's done in your life. But make sure that we're doing what God has said to do. We're passing that on to those that come after us. There's a world around us where things are changing. Don't let it change us this morning. As the music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
appreciate you being here this morning. Man, talk about this last week. Search the scriptures and search your heart. Man, we want to do what God says. We want to do what God says. And thank you for being here. Be back tonight if you can be. 6 o'clock for the service and 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And enjoy the cold air. Warmer air is coming. And enjoy that today. And again, thanks to our bus workers, and pray for them as they go home. Get the kids home. Keep them safe as well. Brother White, always good to have you in, man. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Why don't you close in prayer if you would.
Much more.